This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And we threw it out there, any podcast requests, because we're trying to record a few, trying to get ahead of the game in case somebody gets, you know, like a fatty tumor that goes between their arm bones, or like a sinus infection that turns into an eye infection. You know, just anything could happen, right?
Okay, right, so Mom? You're saying all these things, and it's because my body's just old and worn out, okay?
Just breaking down.
And as okay, so during the pandemic, my physician said to me, you know, you're not, what'd she say? You're not what they're calling immunosuppressed.
Oh.
She said, yeah. But boy, are you on the cusp. That's what she said.
I respectfully disagree with your doctor, honestly.
No. By the definition of the CDC and all that. And she's, you know, and then that's what she said about this arm surgery. She says, your immune system, you know, it's working on the arm and everything, letting everything
just
else
like
go.
Yeah. My personal professional opinion as not a doctor is that you're immunosuppressed.
Well, she said, I was riding the cusp is what she said, because I was not in the definition of like the CDC's.
Yeah. Well, it's just been super trendy.
I've been in their definition, but now I'm not in that definition
anymore.
Well,
it's, you know, the reason we can have this business because it's been super trendy to talk about like chronic illness and sewing. That's why.
How you're falling apart.
Yeah. No, it is good because
now look, you know, I could have this tattooed, my scars.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about this and made it look like stitching samples.
I cannot believe how good they look.
I had a plastic surgeon.
Yes, you did.
Plastic surgeon closed them up.
In case the first time you're listening, ZD has Crohn's disease and like other stuff. Like
age.
And you're almost 70.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you just turned 69.
Am I 69 and a half yet?
No. That's like almost August.
Like July.
March, April, May, June, July. July. Yep. Wait. March.
Well.
What's
You're
two?
Right.
Why isn't that working? February to March, April, May, June, July, August. Because I was only counting to 5 and not 6.
Okay.
6 is half of 12. What's wrong with me? What's wrong? Let's talk about what's wrong with Mallory. Actually, that's a great segue. Because we asked for podcast requests, and Lisa says, have you ever done a capsule wardrobe thing? And then my mind kind of went like, ugh. And I was like, one time I asked Sam how old she was, and she went
like a cat.
Yeah, she hissed at me. Hi, Sam. So when people ask me about a capsule wardrobe, I go not because I don't like capsule wardrobes, but
they don't like you.
But because of segue to Gail's question, which is next on the Facebook post. So why do I hiss at a capsule wardrobe? Because Gail would like some strategies for overcoming the tendency towards perfection / self-criticism of the things we make. And I have a problem about, like, this is a total personal problem, okay? Like, and I have a problem with, okay, if I decide on a capsule wardrobe and I, like, were to map it out and, like, plan it out and then, like, do it. And then if it didn't work or I didn't like it, I would perhaps view myself as a complete failure and just be like – and so I – total fear of failure. This is why I have not done a capsule wardrobe
thing. I think this is funny.
Oh my God.
Considering the things you've done in your life, you're worried about
failing
at the capsule wardrobe.
Yes, yes. No, I'll be like, I'm going to make a fabulous weirdo ball gown. I would rather make a fabulous weirdo ball gown than a capsule wardrobe.
I think I might be kind of, I understand this in a way.
Can you analyze me?
Well, what I'm doing right now is.
What are you doing?
I'm thinking, I only need like 16 pieces of clothes besides my underwear, because I need like 400 pieces of underwear. But.
Absolutely.
Right? There's a thing about that now on the internet.
Internet has become aware of the overpacking.
They finally became aware of women overpack underwear, which I have been aware of all my life.
Yes, yes.
Going away for 3 days, 20 pair of underwear.
25 pairs of underwear.
And then you come, you pack 20 pairs, you go away for 3 days, and you come home with like 18 clean pair of underwear.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you don't have to do any laundry.
Yep.
But anyway, But I keep thinking, this is what I do with my life now. Like, you know, I need one funeral dress. Like, you know, maybe two dresses to wear to an affair like a wedding or something, right? Okay.
Yeah.
That's only three dresses, right? I mean, and they could even be like any sleeve length and I could wear a sweater. Whatever. I don't know. And then I guess this is kind of capsulizing.
Yeah, you're
right.
You're doing it
and
right.
And then
now.
I need rash guards, which is my big thing. And I need leggings. And leggings could suffice for me in, like, you know, not only my swimwear, but that could be my aerial wear, you know. And I do have leotards that I wear, you know, with aerial or whatever. So that's all I need.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, you know, 82 pair of underpants. But, and a couple of I need bras.
Yeah.
And bra is becoming an issue here, too. They discontinued the bra that I
like.
Sorry to
hear
my God. It's like a, talk about a funeral. But anyway, it's a demise on its own, that's for sure. So I go, then I can get rid of like all these clothes. And then
do
I can't.
You? Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, ooh, but I really wore that and had a whole lot of fun in that one time. Okay, what is that part?
Okay, no, I do actually.
What is that part about? I had a whole lot of fun in that and I looked really good in that. Okay, that was like 20 years ago or 15 years ago.
Okay.
I don't even look the same.
I don't have that as much. And maybe that's because I feel like I wear clothes out more than you. And I mean, I wear them and I...
Well,
and
you,
then,
haven't had, you haven't had the
as,
extra like 40 years
you.
To
yeah, right.
yeah, accumulate
you know.
Them.
Okay, so you have... That's funny. You have sort of like, I have a good memory in that, you know? I'm not as much of that as I want to keep it and I'm like looking toward the future. You know, I'm like, oh, should I not get rid of that because I could?
Well, that's what
blah,
I mean, because I want to have that same fun
again.
Yeah,
you want to do it again.
I want to repeat that. Like, I want to look good like I did in that again and have the same amount of fun in it or whatever. Or maybe it wasn't even fun as I felt so comfortable in that dress when I went to that wedding. I felt like I looked good. It felt good on me. It was just so appropriate and so nice, you know.
Yeah. It's hard.
And I made it.
I
put some energy into it. Do I want to get rid of it?
I think I got rid of a dress I made and I didn't mean to.
Ooh, yeah.
It's the floral denim one. There's a button up.
Yeah.
I can't find it.
Oh, you'll find
and
it.
And I have like really done a great job organizing my closet.
You think you left it someplace?
I don't know. Like, and I'm like, I must, because like my closet is pretty darn organized. There's some costumes in it from Fun Home that are waiting to be put away right now. But like, I kind of know where everything is.
Right.
And that can be hard for me. I hear a lot of people say, so I don't want to like appropriate some kind of like diagnosis or whatever, but like I hear a lot of people who've been diagnosed with ADHD say the thing about like they have to be able to see it or they forget it's there, like an item.
Oh, I've had that happen with age though too.
Well, and so like I said, but
like everything should be in a clear box or
there
labeled.
You go. I'm like I had total amnesia about this thing, and maybe it's also part of having kids because my memory really suffered after that, right? Okay, anywho,
that's breastfeeding because they suck the brain cells
out.
They come right
they
from
for
your
sure
brain
did
out
that.
Your boob. Yeah,
they for sure did that. So I anyway, I feel like I have gotten visual confirmation on all of the clothing I own in the past several weeks.
Right,
and I can't
and you're
that
still
dress.
Missing it.
So, and I was like, it fit. It was fine. What
no,
did I do?
No, it was cute.
No, it was great. And it was like comfortable and like soft and stuff. And I hadn't ripped it or anything or like the, you know, the dryer hadn't eaten it. Anywho.
It's not in a piece of luggage. Huh?
You know, bleep happens. No, because I like organized my luggage too. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, it's really sad. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, So, you know, I like that that Dana K. Wiley lady. She's the A Slob Comes Clean person. And she says that a lot of the time when people have stuff over their clutter threshold. So,
right.
So if you... One has a clutter threshold. Everyone's clutter threshold's different. I think we've talked about how, like, my clutter threshold's lower than mom's because I'm, like, not as good about, like, keeping track of stuff. And she says a lot of the times it's because you want options and you think you need all the options.
All the options.
And that's for sure me. I'm like, yes, I want all the options. So then, well, I get, yeah. So then I get worried, like, if I create a capsule wardrobe and then do I need to, like,
right.
Hang on to this? And then if I wear anything outside of it, have I failed? So maybe I just need to, like, not call it that, you know, or something.
Right. Maybe it should be the Mallory wardrobe.
The Mallory's wardrobe.
But, okay, so... I have another issue.
Yeah.
So because I have Crohn's disease, I can get it. I mean, it's not a bloat.
And you
is
have
it?
The size.
It is like, yeah. Honest to God, I'm like 8 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't go down. It's not like you can hold it in or something. Yeah. And I mean, this doesn't matter how many.
A lot of people, I feel like, have called that out in the group.
And I think that's not uncommon. It's, uh-huh. You know, it is a bloat. And, I mean, the first time, Mallory knows, she had to, talk me down, you know. I was out on a limb, and she talked me back because we went to a Baby Lock conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to put on, what's it, the dress?
That it fit that morning.
Yeah, that it fit. And so even the pants that I had traveled in, I couldn't get back on.
Yeah.
I mean, I could get them on, but I couldn't snap them. So I couldn't, like, wear them. But anyway, so I wore the same dress, like, you know, three times that weekend. But, which is fine. But I now also know to take something like that with me.
Yeah.
I always take something that will change size with me.
Yeah. So I think that it's possible to incorporate all this into a capsule wardrobe, right?
Right.
But I also think that... The Dana K. White also talks about like minimalism, and she's like, I think people want me to be a minimalist because I'm telling you that living with less is easier than living with more or whatever.
Right.
And she's like, I'm not a minimalist. And she's like, and my house is not always under control. And she's like, and she says she has this, like, kind of defiant personality trait where if someone says, oh, well, you're a minimalist, she'll be like, no, I'm not.
Don't label me.
Don't label me. With that.
Yes.
But I have found kind of like there's research where they tell you that no matter what decision you make on a subject.
Right.
Of course, this isn't about, like, decisions that are completely out of your control or something like that. But, like, if you're trying to choose the green dress or the blue dress, you're happier when you just make the decision and it doesn't matter which you decided on.
Right.
And I like that. That makes me happy.
Right.
And so I have found I've been able to, like, you know, get rid of things or know it's okay to have fewer options. Like,
right.
This is fine. So I think I'm getting closer to where I could possibly consider something like a capsule wardrobe. This is why we haven't done an episode on a capsule wardrobe. But I think maybe I just hold it to too high of a standard or too specific of a standard.
Yeah, I think I have too many requirements.
Yeah.
For some reason, like, I would think that as I got older, I thought things would get simpler. I wanted them to.
Do they not?
No, they didn't. And so I've had melanoma. So, like, if someone says, oh, we're going to eat out on the patio.
Yeah.
I have to have a hat. You know, I have to have sleeves, you know, or I just have to keep globbing on, you know, sunscreen. So I have to know I can cover myself up.
I'm closing my eyes and, like, nodding and shaking my head because I think that I am very protective of my skin and the sun
as well.
We're
very protective of the children,
and
too.
And we're very, yeah. So I'm like, well, should I not own anything sleeveless?
Right.
And then I'm
That's how I feel, too. Like,
you know, so then I think, okay, should all my garments basically cover me.
Right.
But you can have garments that cover you a lot and are still cool, right? You
right.
can make them a thinner fabric, blah, 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 you know. And then I'm like, wait, but you could just own some cardigans, Mallory. And I'm like, but no, I want the one garment to do everything. So I should make, like,
right.
a jumpsuit, basically. But it's got to be out of this fabric that is at once, like, breathable, yet durable, yet, what if I want it to be fancy? Like, throw some sequins on it? I don't know. And then, but no, I want the fabric to be stable enough to where it's not, like, clinging to my skin. And so then I get perfectionistic. Gail asks about the tendency towards perfectionism or criticism of the things we make. I'm interpreting this as sort of like, and I could be wrong, you get done with it and you're like, oh, this is crooked or
right.
blah, blah. And
or
so,
this isn't, I mean, it could be as simple as this isn't hanging the way I
yeah,
thought it was going
to.
I picked out the wrong fabric. Blah,
I
blah,
will
blah.
Sometimes
yeah.
let it even stop me before that.
Yeah.
Like, well, if this romper can't be worn in 99.9% right. of situations, is it even worth making?
Well,
you know?
And I still wear like short sleeve t-shirts if I know I'm going to be inside a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe I'm
right.
just going to walk out to the pond with the dog for 15 mm-hmm. minutes. I slather on, you know, a bunch of sunscreen. But like, now, this year, I have two scars on my arm to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really don't want the sun hitting them. You know, so it's like, no, I'm going back to, like, you know, maybe I shouldn't wear, you know, I need a bunch of three-quarter length t-shirts that are cool.
Or do you,
how
have,
is
like,
that possible?
Do you have, like, tank tops? And then you have, like, a woven
right then you have a shirt
up.
You put on
right.
right
I've been doing that a lot so
yeah.
anyway I think we just take a break and come back and keep riffing on this. Love it. Love our little psychoanalysis session. Hey ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay, and we're back. You know, we sort of brushed on a possible solution to this a couple years ago or a year ago or something.
Like?
You said, or I said, one of us geniuses.
Well, we have the same mind, obviously,
yeah,
remember?
Said,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
that you could think of it like costuming a show.
Yes.
Think of your life like costuming a show. And maybe that approach to it makes it seem a little less daunting to me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I think of a capsule wardrobe and I picture like someone has a rack of 10 garments in their very spare
and they all
apartment
go together.
And it's in Sweden or something, you know, and there's like all this natural light coming through the window and, you know, so I...
And are they
you
all
know what
like,
I'm talking about?
And is there like a basic color like they're a dark brown or a dark black or a navy and then there's maybe some splashes of color
and this
in
person
there.
Has like one knife gray, and one bowl and no one ever pukes on them and like, you know.
Or they always get to do the laundry when they plan.
Sure.
That's another one.
Absolutely.
Right?
And like, yeah, and just like everything.
Yep.
And that's so tough and I felt like that, that's just not our lives, you know.
Right.
And like, our studio is full of different types of fabric. We don't have like a stack of it's just linen, you know, or
well,
something.
Well,
you like
know,
that,
this is the
know?
Other thing I was thinking about. I've thought about this, okay? So, say when I was getting into fashion, like, seriously.
Yeah.
Would that have been like age 14, 15, 16, maybe? Do you know what I mean? I started sewing then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking a lot about garments, right? Or garmentry or whatever. You know, I didn't have so many choices.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had cotton, you had wool, you had denim, you had a god awful polyester that I didn't like to sew.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really didn't.
Yeah.
So with it. Unless maybe like it was a costume or something. Do you know what I mean? And I needed a color that I couldn't get. But, you know, I had at one point, I believe that you could have called this a capsule wardrobe. Okay. So I had, you know, a basically shift type dress, princess seams.
Yeah.
Okay. That I had that pattern down to it fit me perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I had probably 10 or 15 dresses made out of it because I can make a dress like in a weekend.
Right.
Right. And, you know, the little triangle scarves I'm making again for Catherine.
Yes, yes.
I could make a little scarf to match. I could make a headband to match, you know. And I had those pictures of me in that stuff. I made one with my monogram on the front that I embroidered.
Uh-huh.
You know, short sleeve, no sleeve, sort of a sleeve down to my elbow maybe, you know. A couple of them had like a tulip sleeve, but it was the same dress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I had to wear a dress to school every day. We couldn't wear we couldn't wear pants, guys. No
yep.
pants, no shorts, no nothing like that. It would distract the boys, you know. So I kind of had a capsule wardrobe. And then when I came home, what did I have? I had like a short pattern.
Yeah.
So I had like 5 pairs of shorts and some shirts with Peter Pan collars, and T-shirts were not in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I had like, you know, Oxford cloth shirts and stuff.
I would quite agree that choice, we just have too many choices now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can play well within the bounds of like society right now. You can play with like different eras and different silhouettes and different, also, you know, the sky's the limit,
look at
I feel
the
like
shoes.
Right now. Like yeah.
we could not wear our gym shoes, right? During class time, right?
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't, you know, you couldn't have your gym shoes on in the hall. You had to have like your leather shoes on, okay? And then your tennis shoes were for gym class.
Right.
Like that kind of thing. So, I mean, I guess there was less available and the rules were more explicit.
Yeah.
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 So I'm complaining about
your freedom.
The freedom.
Yeah.
About the wide. Well, and, you know, sometimes I think a lot of people like know this with like artistic pursuits or with their work or whatever. Like sometimes guardrails can be nice to help you out, you know, or you start one place. I've been wearing like a pair of leggings and a camisole every day as like a base layer. So, yeah. I don't know the last time I wore a real bra. in my life right now.
And see, I'm over here wishing and I could say
and
that.
She can't, you know. Yeah. And, it's not like an option for mom with her, you know, preferences for how she wants her body to feel, etc. So
I would say it's to avoid chafing mostly.
No,
but yeah,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So, anyway, like, okay, no, I like that as a base. I also think, okay, as people who sew, as sewists, there is another pressure here. There can be the...
Oh, no, maybe I didn't know that. Now you're adding
another pressure.
Yeah, okay,
especially in the age of, like, social media, which can be so amazing for connecting us all, but then can also be a tool where, like, you see a lot of the really positive, big highlights of people's lives. It's always good to remind yourself of that. But, like, do I have to make everything I wear if I say that I make clothes or make my own clothes or whatever? And I used to feel a lot of pressure on this as someone who, like, has a podcast and stuff. I'm like, well, shouldn't buy that. Like, I'd go into a store, see something I like, and be like, well, I shouldn't buy it because, I don't know, someone's going to know. Like, why? You know, I don't know. Come on. And, like, maybe if I'd bought it, I would have, like, had some time to, like, make something else or whatever. So you don't have to make everything that you wear. Like, what if you just enjoy making swim clothes?
Right.
Or just, you're like, man, I've got this bra thing down, and it's the hard right. thing for me to find, and it's my passion, but I, like, buy my own, you know, shirts or whatever, you know, like, it is okay not to make every single thing you wear. So that could also be an issue with, like, the perfectionism too. Well, oh, I made a bra and I made 10 of them and they're great. And then I've made my first t-shirt and it doesn't live up to expectations. Well, it's your first t-shirt, you know, it's not, and it's different from a bra, you know, different skill set, different fabrics, et cetera, et cetera.
So actually I've been at that intersection.
Have you?
I have, and actually more recently than not. So what has happened to me is time, energy, and your hand doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, your hand.
Right? So what I realized, though, is even if I buy something, I wind up sewing on it.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So, like, I recently just had gotten a couple boxy t-shirts and I can't remember why I got, well, one was like from a restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's a logo thing, you know, a graphic tee, right? And I can't remember what the other one was, but it wasn't that. But I was like, this is too long for my body. I'm not a tall person, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the sleeves are too long for my arms. So I'm up here altering ready to make.
Ready to wear.
Ready to wear. Because
it's ready to make.
It's ready
Good Freudian
to, it's ready for me to make.
We're already like in our psychoanalysis episode.
So like, you know, so what I'm saying is even if I do buy it, I'm hemming. I'm always hemming something.
And you know, it's like it's all okay, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool. Like go ahead and you know go ahead and alter it. Well, I bought, like, some white button-up shirts. I was kind of, like, wearing them. And they were made of a rayon blend. And they were fine for a while. And they shrunk. Because I put them through a dryer. Because that's who I am. And, you know, I need shirts that can go through the dryer, apparently, you know. So, anyway, like, that stuff happens, too. But, yeah, you don't have to make everything you wear. And, like, it's okay to specialize. It's okay to focus on swimwear. I would say
like me with rash guards.
Uh-huh.
I really like making my own rash guard.
Right.
You feel I don't. Well, first of all, you know, I have a big difference between my bust and my waist, mm-hmm. right? And so either they're too boxy or they're too tight in the bust line.
Uh-huh.
You know, in order, because even, you know, your dad, we were someplace, he goes, why don't you buy one of these? Because this is really cute. Look at it. Zips up in a... I said, let me show you. Right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, it zipped up the front. It was like a jacket, sort of. And I put it on. It looked real cute and everything. And I could zip it up to my boobs.
Right.
And then, you know, and then I couldn't zip it up any farther. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh. I go, that's probably why I sell, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I just can't buy it, you know... I truly cannot buy it off the rack And, you know, if I would have went to the next size, then it would have been hanging off of my, you know, arms and, you know, too big and all that. So, you know, I do really like making the swimwear, the rash guards.
Yeah.
And I wear them a lot.
Yes.
It's something I do wear a lot. I like making the leggings. I like making my own leotards. Leotard is another thing. I can buy a leotard, but the way it has to stretch, like, to, you know, in order to fit my butt and my hips, I need, like, a small size. And to fit the top, I'm going to, like, a larger size. So I wind up in the small size because of blah, 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 you know. So then the fabric is stretched,
right?
You know, over my boobs, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel good. I don't like it. It doesn't fit.
Right, right. Well, and this happened to me with like winter coats. It's like, I want to sew a winter coat. You know, no, I don't actually want to do that. I found out, you know,
everybody should try.
Not right now or whatever. You know,
like I'm never sewing drapes again in my life.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't work out. You know, so. I think that can be it. So if you remember, okay, well, I've sewn a lot of, you know, item number one, and then the first one of item number two comes off. This is easier said than done, but actually going through this, when I make something and it's a mistake, you can get really sad about it. I have because maybe I had like really high hopes or whatever. But man, the next time, if it's a mistake I made, you know, if it's something I did, boy, you have got that like branded in your psyche. And I feel like the experience is, you know, the best teacher, and it helps me not to screw it up the next time, you know? So I'm like, oh man,
if you can calm down and do the learn from my mistake thing, or learn from, you know, what I just did thing. It really is valuable.
So if Gail is meaning, if she's meaning like, you know, not so much fear of failure, but more about, you know, perfectionism in what we make, in self-criticism.
You know, another thing that I have done before is like, okay, this is going to be, you know, I'm just trying this out. I'm just going to see if I like this. And if I go in with that attitude,
that's better. Right.
So, you know, small expectations.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to have these fantastic results.
Keep expectations low.
Yeah. but it's true. Like, I don't know how this is going to sew up.
Yeah.
I don't know how this is going to look on me. I don't know how this is going to be on my body. Ooh, is this print going to be too much for, you know, overall on me? Or am I going to like it? You know, and I have, you know, that's where you wind up wearing, you know, your muslin is a real garment a lot of times.
Right, exactly.
Because you think, oh, this isn't going to work, you know.
Also, you know, with the self-criticism, so this is very much a, like, product-based hobby.
Yes.
Okay. Probably, I know that maybe all hobbies in some way, there's, like, an end game. I've taken up weightlifting and I want to lift this much weight, okay? Or like, compete. But, like, with sewing, you sew and people expect there to be like the quilt or the t-shirt or the whatever. You know what I mean? So that's hard, I think, when it's supposed to be like every session or every project is supposed to really, you know, there's supposed to be a big finale at the end.
A big payoff.
Versus like a fishing trip. Like, okay, we did or didn't catch fish and maybe that's not my fault. You know, or I'm just thinking about like other hobbies, you know. Or
Well, and sewing is, you know, and we've talked about this before. You have to be smart to sew because of all of the skills
There's so much going on. Yeah.
You know, because of the whole process. It's the planning. You know, it's the decision making of the fabric and, you know, the shape and the look of the garment. And are you going to use a pattern? Are you going to, you know, do you draft your own? Or, you know, and then you have to lay it out and you have to cut it. And, oh, did you cut it wrong? When that happens, you know, I'll go back to the store and get another piece.
So
but anyway, you know, all of that, you know, did you pick the white? Well, you picked the right color. Did you pick the right weight? Did you pick the what? You know, are you using the right length of stitch? You know, did you turn your corners right?
Yeah, have you ever made a really nice garment for someone else? I have.
Yeah.
This is really nice, and it will fit not me. it's a really great garment for someone else.
That's
you
right.
know, is has happened to me. And when Zadie says, you know, only smart people sew, you have taken the leap and you've made this shirt, you've made the whatever. Like, you need to give yourself credit for all the stuff.
Right, all that
you
process.
Had to think about. And that's what I'm saying, right? So we don't get, I don't think maybe we give ourselves enough credit for the process.
Okay.
And so, I'm not good at this either for myself all the time, you know. Just
okay, so
to
I
say.
Saw I saw this little TikTok thing about somebody was, oh, just sew a pair of shorts, kind of blah blah blah. And they took a pair of kids' shorts, you know, and they laid them down on this folded fabric, and they cut them out, right? And I'm like, they're not leaving enough room for the waistband. What are they gonna do when they get to the end? They didn't cut an allowance for the waistband, you know, and they sewed these all up and they're acting like it's working and everything. Well, here's what they did. They just didn't show the waistband done at the end. And I was like, yeah, because you
Handy.
Forgot. You forgot.
This is all, so let's talk about TikTok. First of all, I love like sped up videos of things. Freaking love them.
Yeah,
love
because
them to death.
Those long videos drive me nuts.
Well, yeah, anyway. Exactly. So I love it. And here's the deal. You don't know how that actually fits that person because I was watching this video. I'm not going to
Okay,
get,
well, it was
wait.
Little kids shorts. Well, it was going to fit like 80%
kid.
Of the little kids in the world.
However, here's what I've thought about too. I'm not going to call out this video because it keeps coming up in my feed, so it must be like popular.
Oh, I might see it too.
But like this person's making breakfast for their little kid. She's like, oh, it's like the perfect
All
breakfast.
All the time.
And no, it's not that
not
one.
Her. Okay.
But it's somebody else. It's okay. The same style of video. And they give it to the kid. And I'm like, I don't know if that kid ate that. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but then later they show a plate, like, with just a few crumbs left. Like, I didn't see the kid eat it.
I don't know.
I didn't see
the
kid eat it. Maybe you ate it. Did you feed it to the dog?
I could have put a bunch of effort, because I have.
My dog might eat that.
Yeah. I like cooking, and I've made a couple recipes off TikTok for my kids, and they weren't good. And they didn't like them. I didn't
really got to be careful about internet recipes. In general,
not everything on the internet is a good idea.
Nobody, you know? A lot of those recipes, no one has tried. Oh man, I saw one.
No, there's some.
I saw one the other day, like the sausage was raw, and it was just. I was like, why would you even start? Like, who's doing this? Who's wasting their time showing
there
this?
There are some red flags now. I'm like, this person can't cook. Like, when I start, and then I'm like, no,
person
can cook.
And she had a hairbrush next to the dish. I'm like,
stop it.
There's a hairbrush on her kitchen counter.
That lady who reacts to the restocking videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, ooh, she doesn't like it when people use their hands to touch like individual.
Right.
Like if someone puts carrots.
Right. Right.
Like the baby carrots and they decant them.
Right.
And if they like use their hands, she's like, oh, you used your hands.
Yeah. A hairbrush was on the counter the whole time they were preparing this thing. And then I'm like, those things all don't cook at the same rate. That sausage is going to be raw. And it was.
Was it? Yeah. No, I've come across, there are a few, I trust a few people.
Well, sometimes you can see something and you know it'll work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got the experience enough to realize
that. To be like,
that.
Oh, yes, of course, these flavors will look good together. Do you ever watch, oh my God, what is it? It's the woman whose husband is a personal chef and he cooks,
No, but I'd like to marry
her name,
him.
Yes. Her name is Catherine. Uh-huh. And is it called like Catherine Eats or something?
Oh.
But she's like, I want this from the Chinese Laundry
where it's
$3,000
a
plate or something. She's like, can you make me oysters, you know, or something. And she doesn't really talk like that, but like he does a great job making these videos and it's just so hilarious.
Okay, I need to watch those.
Oh, no, it's great. And he does post the recipe a lot of the times and stuff. But yeah, he's like, well, we went and she was like pregnant during the pandemic and he cooked for her.
Oh, man.
And it was just
we have a neighbor that we're really good friends with. And
we do.
Yeah. And she married a chef.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I'm like, how did you know to do that? Like,
it's a good idea.
Oh, man. I like when he said, I'm a chef. I went, oh, you're kidding.
And you're taken.
I want a chef.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that we did a nice little, this we're getting back into the groove, everybody.
Kind of a bitch session, sorry.
Yeah. Bitch sesh. Now it's explicit. And I didn't say the S word earlier. I was going to say shit happens.
It does.
But Yeah, exactly.
Ship happens.
Ship happens. Okay, well, we'll talk to you all next week. Keep it coming with the podcast requests, and thanks for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.